My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
You'll state your point of order.
Rule 9F of the committee rules say that any testimony from your witness needs to be here 24 hours in advance. The committee and the chairman knows well that at 10:08 we received the written testimony, and then we received evidence this morning at 7:54. Now, if this was just an oversight, Mr. Chairman, I could look beyond it. But it was an intentional effort by this witness and his advisors to once again show his disdain for this body. And with that, I move that we postpone this hearing.
This body. I want to thank the gentleman.
And with that,
I want to thank the gentleman. I got the testimony late last night. We did. And we got it to you all pretty much the same time that we got it. I want to move forward with this hearing.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, Mr. Chairman, this is a violation of the rule, and if it was not intentional, I would not have a problem. I'm not saying it was intentional on your part. I'm saying it's intentional on his part, because Mr. Dean, last night on a cable news network, actually made it all very evident. John Dean, and I'll quote, Mr. Chairman, he said, as a former committee counsel in the House Judiciary Committee and then a long-term witness, sitting alone at the table is important. Quote, holding your statement as long as you can so the other side can't chew it up is important as well, close quote. And so it was advice that our witness got for this particular body. And Mr. Chairman, when you were in the minority, you wouldn't have stood for it. And I can tell you that we should not stand for it as a body.
Mr. Chairman, here we go. Here we go. Your first big hearing, your first announced witness, Michael Cohen. I want everyone in this room to think about this. The first announced witness for the 116th Congress is a guy who is going to prison in 2 months for lying to Congress. Mr. Chairman, your chairmanship will always be identified with this hearing. And we all need to understand what this is. This is the Michael Cohen hearing presented by Lanny Davis. That's right. Lanny Davis choreographed the whole darn thing. The Clinton's best friend, loyalist, operative, Lanny Davis put this all together. You know how we know? He told our staff. He told the committee staff. He said the hearing was his idea. He selected this committee. He had to talk Michael Cohen into coming. And most importantly, he had to persuade the chairman to actually have it. He told us it took 2 months to get that job done, but here we are. He talked him into it. This might be the first time someone convicted of lying to Congress has appeared again so quickly in front of Congress. Certainly, it's the first time a convicted perjurer has been brought back to be a star witness in a hearing. And there's a reason this is the first, because no other committee would do it. Think about this. With Mr. Cohen here, this committee, we got lots of lawyers on this committee. This committee is actually encouraging a witness to violate attorney-client privilege. Mr. Chairman, when we legitimize dishonesty, we delegitimize this institution. We're supposed to pursue the truth, but you have stacked the deck against the truth. We're only allowed to ask certain questions. Even with that amendment you just told us about, well, Russia's now on the table. You initially told us we can't ask questions about the special counsel, can't ask questions about The Southern District of New York can't ask questions about Russia. Nope. Only subjects we can talk about are ones you think are going to be harmful to the President of the United States. And the answers to those questions are going to come from a guy who can't be trusted. You have a history of lying over and over and over again. And frankly, don't take my word for it. Take what the court said. Take what the Southern District of New York said. Cohen did crimes that were marked by a pattern of deception and that permeated his professional life. These crimes were distinct in their harms, but bear a common set of circumstances. They each involved deception and were each motivated by personal greed and ambition. A pattern of deception for personal greed and ambition, and you just got 30 minutes of an opening statement where you trashed the President of the United States of America. Mr. Cohen, how long did you work for Donald Trump?
Approximately a decade.
10 years?
That's correct.
And you said all these bad things about the president there in that last 30 minutes, and yet you worked for him for 10 years? All those bad things, I mean, if it's that bad, I can see you working for him for 10 days, maybe 10 weeks, maybe even 10 months. But you worked for him for 10 years. Mr. Cohen, how long did you work in the White House?
I never worked in the White House.
And that's the point, isn't it, Mr. Cohen?
No, sir.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not, sir.
You wanted to work in the White House.
No, sir.
You didn't get brought to the dance.
Wow, you didn't get brought to the dance. Remember this day. Glad you're with us. We're in Vietnam. We are in Hanoi. Now, it just so happens it's 3 o'clock in New York, in our nation's capital, 12 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 a.m. here in Vietnam. I want you to remember this day because this is a defining moment in terms of the two distinct, radically different visions for the future of this country. Because what do you have today? You have the Democratic Party at the same moment. The president of the United States of America has traveled 20 plus hours to meet with Little Rocket Man, the North Korean dictator, after he made tremendous progress because the bribery of the Clintons didn't work, just like the bribery of the Iranian mullahs will never work and didn't work. And he is looking to accomplish something that so many people have talked about and has made tremendous progress to make a safer world for your kids, for your future, for your grandkids, a safer world. So far, we've had a lot of success. No rockets being fired. Remember, it was like every other week. Uh-oh, another rocket fired over Japan. Uh-oh, Little Rocket Man is firing, threatening Guam. Uh-oh, Little Rocket Man saying we can reach the continental United States. We can reach Boston and New York and Philly and with real nuclear weapons. And you're thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Everyone was nervous, concerned, worried. President dealt with it like Reagan dealt with the former Soviet Union. Evil empire. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Just like Reagan. They said, oh, man, go back. Listen to the tapes they played about Reagan. He's a California cowboy. He's going to start World War III. You know, he's going to destroy the economy. Reaganomics. Well, the wall came down. The Soviet Union collapsed. We didn't have to fire a shot. He built up our nation's defenses. He created 21.5 million new jobs, the longest period of peacetime economic growth in history. And this is what we get under. This is why I am a conservative. Conservatism and conservative principles, economic principles, foreign policy principles work. And I'm not talking about interventionism. Nobody wants to intervene. We can never do another Vietnam again. Or we can't send troops with no up-armored Humvees into Iraq, banging on door after door after door and getting whacked with IEDs when we know these wars will ultimately be politicized and we will bail out and victory is not the stated goal. If America, God forbid, ever has to fight a war, you better go in and you better win. You know, go back and look at the footage of America. You know, there were bombings that took out 75,000 people in a shot Hiroshima, Nagasaki. This was not a game when the Allied forces were fighting back and defending liberty and freedom from fascism, Nazism, Imperial Japan, and communism. And all of these things, the same with Trump. He's in North Korea. So far, he's gotten, let's see, hostages have been released. No more rockets are being fired. The remains of American heroes have been sent home. He's looking now to take this to the next level, and that is literally denuclearizing the entire peninsula. And I'm going to get to the details. While simultaneously in Capitol Hill, Michael Cohen is dragged in, not one day, not 2 days, 3 days, but on the very day that the president is going to meet with the North Korean dictator in the hopes of making a safer world and denuclearizing the peninsula, they bring out Michael Cohen, who's about to go to jail for lying repeatedly to Congress and also lying on loan applications, which is fraud. I mean, that's like saying, lend me money and I'll be able to pay you back. And if not, you get to take my this, 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 and this, and this. But you overstate your value. So that puts that lender at risk. And in many cases, it backfires. Just this is the day, though. You just look at who they are. They are petty. They are insignificant. They are superfluous. They are angry. They have no vision. They have no desire to put we the people and solve the problems of this country before their politics of hating everything and anybody. Trump, 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 Trump. Every second, every minute, every hour of every 24-hour day, 7 days a week, every month, every year since he's been in office, even before he got into office. This is now, this is who they are. Look at what their plans are. Oh, now I see that Kamala Harris has a new plan. Earlier in last week, it was, okay, reparations. We're going to add that to the list. And now Kamala Harris is in favor of legalized prostitution. Yesterday, they wouldn't support medical care for a baby born alive after a botched abortion. In other words, a human being. They're denying support, medical support for that child. We had on a woman who survived a botched abortion. It happens. That's where their head's at. And on top of that, we're going to get rid of all oil and gas, the lifeblood of our economy in 10 years. We're going to get rid of cars as we know them. We're going to get rid of airplanes. May take a little longer on that part. Cows. And, you know, we're going to have to rebuild every house in America. And we're going to promise every American, okay, they're going to get a sustaining wage, medical family leave, health care for all, but you can't have your own health care plan. Everybody's guaranteed a job. Everyone's guaranteed retirement. Everybody's guaranteed vacations. Everyone's guaranteed government healthy food. A child care is now included by Elizabeth Warren. But don't worry how we're going to pay for it. It is a defining choice that has never been this clear. What are they doing? What are they advocating for to stop the drugs that are coming across our southern border, the 90% of heroin that makes it into this country? Are they stopping the fentanyl that's killing kids coming into this country? Do they want to stop the cartels? Do they want to stop the gangs? What about the young girls that are being human trafficked as sex slaves across that border? Do they stand for that? They did 3 years ago in the second term of Obama, but not now because Trump's president. Do they really care about sexual harassment, Me Too, and mistreatment of women? Only if it's Kavanaugh and 40 years ago, but not a charge of rape against a Democrat, a lieutenant governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and other sexual assaults. Do they care about Dreamers, DACA? Do they care about furloughed employees? Nope. They care more about beating Donald Trump. There's nothing they're standing up for in this moment that represents a better life and better country for you and your family. They're supposed to be our servants. And Trump, like a maniac, fights for everything he wants. You want to know why I support Trump? I've supported these policies for all my radio career, 30 years, 23 years on Fox, because these policies work. When you apply conservatism, it works. This is madness. that this party has been co-opted by hatred beyond anything I've ever seen. And to do this to a president as he's abroad trying to make the world safer for your kids, grandkids, future generations, it's embarrassing. They ought to be mortified at what they have become. Quick break. Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer. Because you switch to Juul, it's simple, it's satisfying, and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold. They can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/switchamerica.
All right, so as we continue, it's, what is it here? 3:26 a.m. in the morning here in Vietnam. All right, so as we start Hannity tonight, that's when the president, Kim Jong-un, will have their meet and greet. We're going to cover all of this. This is a moment. Take this moment and use it. Embrace it. Learn who they are. They're telling you who they are. And they're showing you who they are and what they're not. They are not looking out for the interests of the people of our country. They don't even care that the president is on foreign soil doing something deep and profound. Like they couldn't do this next week. Well, that's the Mueller report week. We want to make sure we get the maximum, you know, amount of hate out of that week. All right, 25 now to the top of the hour in Vietnam. It just so happened 9 Eastern tonight. The president and Kim Jong-un will make their, I think, first public appearance. I don't have the news like I do everywhere else. I'm just going to reiterate this one point, and then I'm going to move on and give you some of the details of some of what has happened here today. This is a defining moment. You get two very distinct, clear, different visions for the future of our country. You see a party that is devolving into the most radical, the most extreme, frankly, heartless, and they think they have a monopoly on compassion. Duplicitous, dishonest, phony, you know, advocating all of the failures of the past. And they have an obsessive, compulsive psychosis of hating this president, along with the hate Trump media mob. It's all on display today because they're loving this, the Democrats. And they have no idea it is blowing up in their faces as we speak. There is going to be massive, long-term, irreparable damage to this entire group of people that have lost their minds. You know, in many ways, very funny, Donald Trump has triggered something so radical that they feel that this is the only way to, you know, we got to stop Trump. And it doesn't matter how successful he is. And that's the irony here. You think of everything that a politician ought to be about. Common sense, Thomas Paine, 1776. He says, where the guides and dictates of one's conscience irresistibly obeyed. In other words, if you always did the right thing and you never, if human beings were perfect, there would be no need for any government lawmaker. That not being the case, he very astutely, very insightfully warned, government in its best state is but a necessary evil, and its worst state an intolerable one. Now you have a vision of an intolerable government. You know, look at what the 2 years have been about. Just look at the Trump-Russia collusion issue. Look at it, again, not rank and file, but the top people with the most power, they rigged and tried to rig a presidential election and felt good about it. Not a lot of them, but just listen, Baker and McCabe and Comey and Strzok and Page, and then you've got Yates and Rod Rosenstein and Bruce Orr. I mean, a number of them. And if we're going to save our republic, they're going to have to be held accountable. If we have equal justice, equal applications of our laws, et cetera. But Comey and Strzok in particular, James Baker, to his credit, saw the obvious felony of top secret classified information on Hillary's server, wanted to indict her. James Comey and others, it's like they ganged up on, no, this is why, no, and put pressure on, all right, forget it, don't, you know, we'll use prosecutor. And what did Comey say that day? No prosecutor would ever consider bringing charges. Really? What about the deletion of all of those emails that were subpoenaed? What about the bleach bit and the devices? This party now is so obsessed that what has happened here today, if I can put it more succinctly, is that these hearings were scheduled today, and the only purpose of these hearings were to publicly humiliate and try to damage and hurt President Trump while he's in Vietnam, where we are, during his meeting with Kim Jong-un. Now, if they really saw how profound this could be for the future, if they put their petty politics aside for a few minutes, if they could have just waited 3 days, waited 4 days, do it on Monday, you know, and just let the president negotiate without the distractions and without this going on, this circus that's going on at home. You know, if they keep putting up, Trump is a racist, a con man, and a cheat. Well, specifics? No. A lot of innuendo, a lot of name calling, a lot of anger. The purpose is to do, while the president, whatever happened to politics ends at the water's edge. Whatever happened to the profound implications if we get an agreement that denuclearizes the entire Korean Peninsula and the impact that will have for a safer world for future generations, something positive will be done. We've already got a lot of good things, as I said. And then you put together everything that they have now been pushing, including today. What have they been pushing? Oh, well, Kamala Harris now wants legalized prostitution. Last week, it was reparations. Added to the new Green Deal, Elizabeth Warren wants a wealth tax after you've paid taxes on that money to pay for government-run child care. Well, why don't we just hand the kids over the day they're born and the government will raise them for us? Because they have them, what, in child care. We're going to give them breakfast, lunch. Might as well add dinner at this point. Government, you know, healthy food dinner. And then, of course, now we're going to, not only do we pay more per capita for student, but the unholy alliance Democrats protecting the teachers unions because they want their money for elections. We now have more money per capita spent per student and the worst results. Now we're going to take it a step further. We're going to move our government schools to the next level, college and trade schools. And we're going to have guaranteed. Everyone gets, you know, everything. How does everything get guaranteed in the world of Democrats? Just everything is a promise. How did the promise work out the last time on health care? But they're not going to allow you this time to keep your own care. You're not going to be able to have it anymore. You're going to have to go with their plan. And if you don't like their plan, well, too bad, because that's the only plan that'll be available. And they're going to funnel everybody into one system. How did it work out for the VA over time? We screwed our veterans royally over. And now it's in the process, hopefully, of being fixed permanently. But then they want to get rid of planes and cars and oil and gas. And I'm like, and we're going to have high speed trains, okay, to Australia. We're going to get on a sailboat to Europe.
Wow, it's going to be a long ride back. I'll tell you that. Depends which way the wind's blowing. Those headwinds might push you back, you know, pretty far. We're going to give up all oil, gas, the lifeblood of our economy in 10 years. We're going to rebuild every home. We're going to guarantee retirement. We're going to guarantee health care. We're going to guarantee certain wages and benefits and vacations and family leave and medical leave and et cetera. By the way, 800-941-SEAN, same number as we continue in Vietnam. This is now a moment, take it, of clarity, of truth. Because Donald Trump's policies have worked. 5.5 million jobs in 2 years. America and energy independent for the first time in nearly 70 years. And we still have two pipelines online, and we haven't touched Anwar, which he opened up. Hundreds of thousands, high-paying career jobs on the way. And more importantly, we're not dependent on countries that hate our guts for the lifeblood of our economy. We have more energy when you combine gas, oil, coal, than the entire Middle East and beyond combined. And now we'll be a net exporter of energy. Imagine, it's not going to be the Middle East anymore with all the political instability there. And all of the price fixing over time there. And Americans, you know, beholden to these people that in many cases hate our guts, corrupt governments like the Saudis. I don't know why everybody wants to take money from the Saudis. I wouldn't take a penny from them. And this is an opportunity. Look at what the president, he's fighting to secure our border from drugs. He's fighting to reverse the damages of Obamacare. He's fighting, literally, he's got new trade deals, now soon one with China, Canada, Mexico, wants to build the wall to protect us, energy independence, biggest tax cuts, originalists on the Supreme Court, and he's hated. What are the Democrats standing for? This new deal and hating Trump and embarrassing him on the world stage. This is not. I am telling you, the American people are smarter than this. They see this. This split screen, this, you know, their number one witness, the president, denuclearization, Korean Peninsula. Democrats, Michael Cohen. Huh? What's wrong with that picture? Take that in, absorb that. And they scheduled it while he's in Vietnam. And imagine if Republicans ever did it. It would be a show all over TV. They'd be going insane every second of the day. How dare Republicans embarrass the president while he's abroad? And by the way, the Cohn testimony, I said whoever would let Michael Cohn, 3 years in jail, go before and testify again, lying to Congress. Well, guess what? He now has a criminal referral as a result of his testimony today. Mark Meadows now seeking that referral against Cohn because he violated federal lobbying laws. I ask unanimous consent that my letter referring Mr. Cohn for violating the FARA, oh, that would be Paul Manafort. Oh, does it apply to others? For illegal lobbying activity to be entered into the record. And it was an exchange where he just said, you didn't put it on the paper. Why? And he said, well, I wasn't lobbying. Didn't say that. Would you like me to read it to you? What lawyer would put Michael Cohn in that position? Why would Michael put himself in that position? Without objection, replied Chairman Elijah Cummings. Foreign Agents Registration Act requires you disclose you work with foreign entities. Apparently he had that. You know, Cohn testifying that, you know, all these bad things about the president. By the way, nothing advanced the Russiagate investigation. You know, Cohn told lawmakers questions have been raised about whether I know direct evidence that Mr. Trump and his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not. And I want to be clear. I just have suspicions. Oh, OK. That's sort of like the Democrats. Yeah, but there's smoke, but there's no fire. Heard that for 2 long years. Michael Cohn, who got disbarred yesterday. Michael Cohn, who lied before Congress.
Why would he put his family through this? He's being used by the radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party. And on top of it, he said, well, lawmakers, questions have been raised about whether I know what direct evidence his campaign colluded. I do not. And then he said that the dossier was phony. If Michael Cohen had anything that was real, he would have used it as a bargaining chip to get out of jail free. He didn't, because there was nothing illegal that we're talking about here. You know, he said, remember, BuzzFeed, he told me to lie to Congress. He said, nope, he never did tell me to lie to Congress. Well, did he tell you? He never thought in any way he'd win the presidency. So instead of the negotiations for Trump-Moscow ending in January of 2016, it ended in June. And the president would check in, how's the negotiations going? Well, if the president thought he was going to lose, he wasn't colluding. He was looking to expand his business and use the platform of running for the presidency to build his business. Now, I was there during the campaign. He wanted to win badly. Absolutely, with every fiber of his being, he wanted to win. You know, I love when they say, you know, Cohen says that, he never expected to win the primary. He never expected to win the general election. The campaign for him was always a marketing opportunity. Then anything with Russia would have been about money, building business. Innocent of collusion at that point. You know, and WikiLeaks came out with a statement on Michael Cohen's testimony. Julian Assange has never had a telephone call with Roger Stone. WikiLeaks publicly teased their pending publications. Oh, that was another thing. It is public information by the time they're talking about the phone call, apparently with Roger Stone. It was already published by WikiLeaks. Now, like WikiLeaks, don't like WikiLeaks. They haven't gotten anything wrong in, what, 13 years? Not once. Not one time. And why didn't if they cared about where the information hacking came from, why didn't they ever go to WikiLeaks and say, where'd you get your information from? Maybe we could have solved that problem with one phone call if they really wanted the truth. So that puts cold water on the collusion issue, on the WikiLeaks issue, you know, that, you know, he's telling no direct evidence. Wow. And that Stone told Trump that WikiLeaks planned to release. It was in the public. They had already tweeted it out at the time. And he'll say that Trump implicitly instructed him to lie to Congress, but he never really tells you to lie to Congress. But no, I never did that. He never told me to lie. Where's the credibility here? All right, as we continue, it is 4 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States and 1 o'clock on the West Coast. And it is 4 a.m. here in Vietnam, where this historic summit is taking place. And we have Newt Gingrich who's going to join us in a little bit. Dan Bongino just stepped into our little, well, custom-made hideaway Vietnam studio that we built here. And how are you, my friend? What's going on?
I made it, but I ran out of local money. I'm begging sweet baby James here for local currency. I said, James, what do you got? I said, you got some local for me? I can't get back.
I haven't bothered once to go to an exchange because everybody loves American money.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's literally no one. I mean, I hate that word. It's overused, but literally not a car on the road but me.
No, there's only a million scooters day and night on the road.
Well, I only had 500,000 Vietnamese, which is like $20. The cab ride was like 50 cents. So I give it to the guy, right, and he doesn't have change. I'm like, you know what, my friend?
Keep it.
So I ran. I have no local money.
Have you given anybody a tip here, like an American, like a 20?
Yes. A young lady brought a cup of coffee up to my room this morning while I was doing my podcast, and I gave her a 20 spot.
Right.
And I got to tell you, she could not have been more grateful.
I had a guy come back to my room. I gave him a 20, right? He brought me something. Here, it's 20.
Yeah.
And he leaves. And then he came back and he's like,
I know.
Is this for me? Is this for me? And I'm like, yes, sir, it's for you.
I know, you were tipping.
And then I reached in my pocket again. I gave him another one. I'm like,
I know how you are with tipping.
No, but it's not, it doesn't make you just feel good. look, let's be honest, $20 to us is nothing. Yeah, you know, it's but for them, it's everything.
Yeah, and I know some people will tell you, oh, you know, you're ruining it. There's not listen, I don't care. It's my money. I'll do it what I want, and I like to make people feel good, and that's what it does for me. So, yeah, it's been great, but yeah, it's I'm glad I got over here. It's been some day, huh, watching all this stuff
as it
goes down.
Well, you know, I'm saying for everybody to remember this day, remember this moment. You know, we've all built to this point 2 years of nonstop hysteria, breathless reporting, Trump-Russia collusion with no evidence, the ignoring of the single biggest abuse of power scandal in history.
Yep.
Then we got the new Green Deal, and which is now including, child care, according to Elizabeth Warren, and maybe we shouldn't have kids, Ocasio-Cortez, and all of this is unfolding, and everything's going to be free, and it's only $94 trillion, but we shouldn't be concerned about the costs. And 24/7 hating Donald Trump. And on the day the president's negotiating something as profound as the denuclearization of the entire Korean Peninsula, look at Michael Cohen, who's going to jail in 3 months. By the way, he got another criminal referral by Mark Meadows today.
Yeah, Farrah stuff.
Yeah. And I'm like, why would anybody let this man testify and put his life in even further jeopardy? And, you know, this is who they are. Imagine Republicans doing this to Obama.
Oh, God forbid.
You know, when he was trying to negotiate, well, maybe if he hand delivered the $150 billion in cash and other currencies to the mullahs in Iran. And I'm watching this. I'm like, this is who they are. They're not supporting securing our border. They're not supporting the tax cuts that's created 5.5 million jobs. They're not securing supporting energy independence. Just the opposite. They want to eliminate it. They weren't there for trade deals that got better with Mexico and Canada, and now soon, hopefully, China or NATO and our European allies. And the little rocket man stopped firing rockets. Remains are back. Yeah. Hostages are back. And this is what they're focused on.
We haven't had, it's been 400 days since a missile launch. I mean, remember, Sean, 400 days ago, we were discussing the potential for thermonuclear war on the Korean Peninsula with the Japanese and the people in Guam. We've come a long way. And the Democrats now are all in on what? The police state, infanticide, Michael Cohen, a convicted liar. The foil effect is incredible. But, you know, it's interesting. There was a pretty key takeaway from this hearing today. I'm sure you caught it. I heard you talking before I came in, but did you notice that the dossier was completely debunked today entirely? The central tenet of the dossier is
the whole thing.
That Michael Cohen went to Prague to arrange this whole thing. Right. He now says for what, the 15th, 20th time on the record.
Never went there.
I have never been to Prague. In other words, this dossier
Listen, you know
is
how
garbage.
I know he didn't go there? And this is something, you know, when I interviewed Michael and we knew him over the years, what we really ever only talked about is both our kids are athletes.
Yeah.
And I knew where he was that weekend. His son was trying out for a professional baseball team. Happens to be an amazing pitcher. You know, and by the way, that was another lie. I was never his client. Ever. He never worked on any case for me. There's never been a retainer. There's never been a bill. There's never been a paid. I never asked him a legal question.
Right.
You know, remember, it's announced in court by, I guess, his attorneys. And I'm like, all of a sudden, my phone's blowing up. It's just before my radio show. I tweeted, he's never been my lawyer.
Yeah.
Where the hell did that come from? And, you know, so it ends up, no part. So the first person, they're looking into Stormy. The second client had some other Playboy or Penthouse. And then Hannity. Well, the media's thinking, Cohen must have done a deal for Hannity. They go nuts. Yeah. And I'm like, I never asked him a legal question in my life. I maybe asked him one question about real estate, and it wasn't even legal.
Yeah, my neighbor's a doctor. I had a fever once. It doesn't make him my doctor.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
But I mean,
because the guy's a lawyer and you ask him something, doesn't make him
your
lawyer.
Would you ever say, for example, to a lawyer, here's a dollar, here's 10 bucks.
All the time.
Yeah, right. Now we have attorney-client privilege. So we talk about Donald Trump, but we always said, all right, keep it between us. That's not representing me in anything.
Well,
you know what? You know, he did apologize to me. About that.
Oh, well, good.
And the reason I didn't want to make a bigger deal of it, because I felt like, you know what? I knew his kids were suffering, knew he was suffering, knew his wife was suffering, knew he was in deep trouble. And that's why I'm looking at this. And I'm like, who would allow him to do this? And now he's in more legal jeopardy, as I predicted he would be.
You know, Sean, I can't forgive him, though, for the racist stuff. You and I know that's crap. Listen, I don't know the president as well as you know him, but I know him, let's say, well enough at this point. And I know people who work for him. It's total bull. I have a podcast. There's no FCC. But on this one, you know where I'm going with that. It rhymes with hit. That is nonsense. And everybody who knows this guy knows it's complete, total crap. That is totally untrue.
All right. We're going to get back to Dan Bongino. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is with us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. And I'm watching this amazing schizophrenic gap between an American president doing something historic and the elite news media, as usual, doing anything they can to avoid covering it.
Well, you know what's amazing? I totally agree with you that the Cohn hearing was specifically planned to stop the coverage and step on the president, what could be a huge success. But Mr. Speaker, you're a historian. You're a professor at heart. And I'm telling everybody, remember this moment. This is a tipping point. You know, we've had a big buildup here, 2 years, Russia collusion, no evidence. Then we have the new Green Deal, no more planes, no more cows, no more, combustion engine, no oil, no gas, and everything's free. And it's $94 trillion, but don't worry about paying for it. And a party of, even abortion during labor. And they wouldn't even stand up for infants born in a botched abortion that need medical help and are living independently. What's happened to this party? Where is this going to end? Because I don't think this ends well for them at all.
Well, I think next year could be one of the great repudiations of our time and could guarantee that Nancy Pelosi is a one-term speaker. I think the number of Democrats who got elected pretending to be moderate, who are now lining up on issue after issue as radicals. I mean, when every single presidential candidate in the Senate voted that they would not protect babies, and as you point out, we're talking now about babies who have been born. Senator Sasse's bill is about as clear and definitive as you could be, and every Democratic presidential candidate in the Senate voted for infanticide. To me, that is such an extraordinary change. And by the way, only about 15% of the country agrees with that. So if we end up in an issue-oriented campaign next year, when you have case after case after case like this, I think they could be crushed in a way that we'll look back and be startled at how big the gap was.
I think so, too. But, I mean, where does this end in, at the end of the day, when the people of this country get to see... And I'm not trying to, Michael Cohen, why he ever put himself in this position is beyond any understanding I have, except that I think that Democrats are using him and they've manipulated him. And he now has put himself, according to Mark Meadows, in further legal jeopardy. And a criminal referral has now being made as we speak. And I'm like, he's going to jail for lying to Congress, lying on loan applications, and also going to jail for, what's the other thing, well, cheating on his taxes. I mean, he's their number one witness.
Look at the picture of who is sitting directly behind Michael Cohen. It's Lanny Davis.
Lanny Davis.
And Lanny Davis is one of Hillary Clinton's closest friends. I tweeted a little while ago the idea that one of Hillary Clinton's closest friends helped write a vicious attack on President Trump by a man who has been convicted of lying leaves me a little bit unpersuaded that I should believe in Cohen. And I suspect that Lanny was one of the people who talked him into doing this because he's a very smart lawyer. I don't want to take anything away from Lanny Davis as a lawyer, but he is one of Hillary Clinton's closest friends. And here was a chance to really get the knife out and see if he couldn't do some damage to the president. In the end, this is noise. This will go away. I mean, the big story today is in Hanoi. It's not on Capitol Hill. And it is the president of the United States taking courageous steps to try to end what is a 69-year conflict, and doing so in a way which has the support of the president of South Korea, and may well be making some progress. It's a difficult challenge, but as you were pointing out just before I came on the show, we were averaging, I think, one missile firing every 24 days under Barack Obama, and now it's quiet. And that's I regard that as a substantial step in the right direction.
As a historian, what does it mean to get the remains of Americans from the 1950s home? The heroes that fought for us.
Look, it does two things for us. One is for those families, and my dad fought in the Korean War, so I'm very sympathetic to the families that did not have their loved ones. It's just enormously important emotionally for them to have their loved ones come home. For the country, it's a reminder that if you risk your lives and you serve America, we never forget you. That we will always be trying to help, always trying to find a way to reunite you with your family. And I think that's a very important part of being American. It's the exact opposite of what we were just talking about with the Democrats, who are willing to kill babies after they're born.
What is the, when you see and you juxtapose the two images today, that they bring in a guy that's going to jail just to slander the president for no seeming purpose except to embarrass him while the president's on foreign soil. Imagine if this happened under Obama. And the president's negotiating the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what it says to me. The Democrats are willing to tear down America if that's what they have to do to get ahead. And I think that backfires. I think the average American is more of a patriot than that. And the average American looks at this and just says, this is really pretty despicable. And I think that it actually hurts them in the end because people get it. People aren't stupid. You're going to bring in a convicted liar in order to have him. And by the way, a guy who for 11 years took money from Donald Trump. I mean, I was trying to get today and I couldn't get it, but I was trying to figure out how much money did he make from Trump over the years? Because all of a sudden he's saying all these mean, nasty things. Boy, that sure wasn't how he talked for 11 years.
Well, I mean, there was a dramatic change of pace. Do you think there's fallout from this new Green Deal? And how do you think the American people react to no more planes, no more cars, no gas, no oil, no cows, and everything's free, and maybe you shouldn't have children, and, oh, reparations, and Kamala Harris wants prostitution legal today?
That's a whole lot of different things. Look,
and late-term abortion.
Well, of course, not just late-term abortion, but infanticide.
Infanticide, correct.
Let's just go down the list. I'm actually working on a thing on reparations because I think, you know, Kamala Harris is from Jamaica. Would she be eligible for reparations or not? I mean, who's eligible? Who's not eligible? This whole thing is insane, and I think it's good for us to take it seriously and say, you know, let's start with Elizabeth Warren. Who does she think should get reparations, and how would you decide it, and what would the standard be? And it rapidly disintegrates into just being stupid. I mean, this is truly becoming a stupid party because the ideas are crazy. Let's take the provision in the so-called Green proposal that they're going to retrofit every building in America. I mean, I'm confident that AOC does not have a clue how many buildings that is, nor does she have a clue what it costs just to retrofit one building. And so what you end up with idea after idea, which would be okay if it was a freshman bull session at the dorm, but it's crazy when it's somebody who's in elected office proposing it for the country.
Mm-hmm. I got a break, and I know that I guess we had trouble connecting with you. Well, sorry, we are in Hanoi, as you know. And former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. I think Americans, this is going to be a defining moment as you juxtapose the president looking for a more peaceful world impacting generations and our kids and grandkids versus, oh, let's now interview a guy going to prison because he's going to say something bad about the president simultaneously. Mr. Speaker, thank you for being with us. We'll continue from Hanoi. We are in Vietnam, 9 Eastern tonight, exact time when they're supposed to first shake hands, and then I'll be interviewing the president immediately after the summit as we continue from Vietnam. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Glad you are with us. Well, I'm guessing at some point here, Ocasio-Cortez is going to be questioning Michael Cohen. That ought to be entertaining. You know what this is? This is a total show. It is a total show. That's what it is. There's no other way to put it. It is a circus. It is an embarrassment that I can't even believe that the Democrats will sink this low in their obsession of Donald Trump. Don't Don't put off. We can't put it off. This is so important. He only has 2 more months before he ends up in prison, as he said many times today. And now he's got another criminal referral. Great job, whoever the attorneys are in this case, recommending. He did not have to do this. The Democrats purposely designed this day while the president is here with us in Vietnam. Now, what's going to happen? You know what's going to be funny tonight? So the president will be meeting Kim Jong-un exactly 9 o'clock, I'm told, according to the schedule, if things go on time. And he'll be shaking hands, and we're going to see the interactions. We're going to start getting some insight, information about, okay, what's happening? What's the next step? And then they're going to go right back to Michael Cohen. I mean, CNN all day. Liar, con man. They've kept it up the whole time. Not that there's a criminal referral now as a result of today's hearings for Michael Cohen, or that Michael Cohen, you know, or that WikiLeaks has said, we had released that information publicly ahead of time. You know, and there's even more stuff that came out. You know, it's funny because there are people that now are coming out saying the potential problem, CNN panel, that I thought Michael Cohen has is if he was asked if he wanted a job in the White House, he said no. Dana Bash said, our reporting, I know, Pam, you have been told, I have been told, all of us, by the people around the process, real time, he very much wanted a job in the White House. Jake Tapper then plays a clip, Jim Jordan pressing Cohen about his desire to work. How long did you work in the White House? I never wanted to work in the White House. And so all of this now then becomes, he's under oath. He got up. He was sworn in before Congress again. Remember, one of the big charges, lying to Congress is a felony. He has 3 years in prison. And he's going off, and he's saying all this. And Mark Meadows now is seeking the criminal referral against Cohen. And that exchange just blew me away. And it's like, wow. And the Democrats didn't even care. This is their best shot. Let's distract the country. Let's continue a 2-year-old narrative when there's nothing illegal that Cohen is even saying. You know, the fact that he makes a big deal. Well, Roger Stone, you know, warned the president. I heard it on a speakerphone. And in fact, there's going to be more emails. WikiLeaks points out, yeah, sorry, but Julian Assange never had a telephone call with Roger Stone. I think that's something they'd be able to figure out. You're Dan Bongino, you're a former, you know about intel more than anybody. That's something, if somebody made a phone call, right?
Yeah, and you know, Andy McCarthy, who does pretty solid legal analysis, brought up a great point today, Sean. If that, in fact, was the case, that Stone had made contact with Assange and was privy to this information, then why does the Mueller charging documents say the exact opposite? The Mueller charging documents say that he couldn't make contact. He was emailing Corsi about difficulty making contact with Assange.
He's telling the other people to go. You got to go see the guy in England.
Does any of this make sense?
No.
And, I mean, nothing screams credibility, too, about Cohen than a convicted liar talking about lying while Lanny Davis, a Clinton bootlicker who made his living surgically attaching his lips to the butts of the Clintons, sitting over his right shoulder. I mean, nothing screams, I'm telling the truth like that. It was like, I'm watching this. Like, if you had a setup, right? If you had to set up a scene to discredit someone completely, you go, let's do this. Let's put a Clintonista lawyer right over his right shoulder. Let's get a convicted con man up there talking about another guy being a con man. It's a total joke. It was like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 for me, you know?
But the line that Cohen is making, and if you especially look at the Southern District of New York, you know, they said that he his consciousness of wrongdoing is fleeting. His remorse is minimal. That his instinct to blame others is strong, while he has, and he's saying, well, I just did it for Donald Trump out of loyalty, and that's why I did it all. That's not why you lied on a bank loan application or didn't pay your taxes. It has nothing to do with it. Why you lied before Congress and now risks what just happened earlier today is mind-numbing to me. And they also said he was leading a double life. You know, that, you know, while Cohen was submitting letters describing his good nature, the evidence collected and witnesses interviewed in the investigation paint a decidedly different picture, a picture of someone who was threatening and abusive, and he wanted to get his way.
And then Cohn once declaring, I'm the guy who would take a bullet for the president. A year later, Cohn is accusing the president of wrongdoing and everything else. So it's, you know, you add up that defense of Trump on this very show at times, then and where he is now, and then saying this and then saying that. I mean, which one are we supposed to believe?
Sean, his credibility is shot. There are mild-mannered cable television news people who don't even do opinion who came out today and said, listen, I've received calls from Cohen that were not very pleasant, that were pretty ugly, as a matter of fact. Not only that, this White House, I didn't want to work in the White House. Sean, seriously, mm-hmm. Every single person you and I know that knows Cohen knows that story is complete garbage. Even CNN. CNN's throwing this. The guy has zero credibility, and he contradicted himself 3 or 4 times throughout the testimony.
And he said the dossier was full of lies. Thank you very much. He said there was no collusion. Thank you very much. Well, and actually, I think gave the most exculpatory phrase when he said he never expected to win the primary. He never expected to win the general election. The campaign for Trump was always a marketing opportunity. So if he was asking about Trump, Moscow, Russia, it was about, okay, when this is all done, I want to get that deal done, which has nothing to do with helping collude to win an election. And the real collusion took place with Hillary. She paid for the Russian dossier. She bought and paid for Russian lies. Those lies were purposefully used to get the American people to vote for her after the fix was in, when even James Baker, the chief counsel, FBI, said, yeah, she should have been indicted for the Espionage Act. There's never been a bigger slam dunk case of obstruction than Hillary Clinton. Want more Russian collusion? Oh, here we have an FBI informant, William Campbell. He's inside Putin's network that is in America, and he sees and he reports back to the FBI bribery, extortion, kickbacks, money laundering, all to get a foothold in America's uranium industry. Oh, 20% Hillary signs off on it. And lo and behold, Bill Clinton, prior to this, goes to Moscow, triples his normal speaking fee, wants to meet with the nuclear regulatory equivalent in that country, the hostile regime of Putin. And instead, he gets a meeting with Putin himself. And guess what happens? Hillary votes to allow on the CFIUS board. She pushes forward along with Holder and others. Yeah, they're going to give Russia 20% of our uranium, and we don't even produce enough. We import uranium, the foundational material of nuclear weapons. And then, of course, $145 million kicked back to the Clinton Foundation. Yeah.
And on that same trip to Russia, Bill Clinton's staffer sends an email requesting to meet with Viktor Vekselberg, who is the head of the Skolkovo Project, Sean, this Russian technology sector where they stole our military secrets. Hillary Clinton's team backed that project. The Russians used that Russian Silicon Valley project to steal our military tech. The guy who's running it, Bill Clinton's staffer, sends an email. Hey, we want to meet with Vekselberg. This is all on the record. While he's getting that $500,000 payment from Renaissance Bank, the Russians are stealing our technology. And Hillary Clinton's out there saying, hey, everybody, tech companies, go over to Skolkovo. This is going to be great, this Skolkovo project. Our own intel people said it was a theft. That hypersonic missile.
How did we have an FBI informant ignore Putin's network involved in bribery, extortion, kickbacks, money laundering?
Talking about Campbell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, that was a paid FBI informant. This wasn't some guy. To get paid by the FBI informant,
this was decades of his life.
This guy is serious. And Rod Rosenstein is the AUSA on that.
And why don't you follow the money in that particular case?
Because they're not interested. I think you and I both know that the whole Mueller probe is to hide this thing. Hey, one more thing, Sean, too. He discredited himself on that, too. Remember, he said, oh, this was just an infomercial for Trump. He didn't really want to win the election. And then when Debbie Wasserman Schultz questioned him, what did he say? He goes, oh, he would have done anything to win, including colluding with the Russians. Well, what is it? Did he want to do anything to win, or was he treating it like an infomercial? He can't have it both ways.
All right, let's go to audio. And, you know, this is the... Oh, is this coming now? Oh, I'm going live now to what? Speak to me. Speak of the microphone. Yeah. All right, let's go to Ocasio-Cortez is now questioning Cohen. Let's listen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cohen, I'd like to quickly pick up on some previous lines of questioning before getting into my own. So I may go a little quickly to get it all in 5 minutes. First, my colleague from Vermont had asked you several questions about AMI, the parent company of the National Enquirer. And in that, you mentioned a treasure trove, a quote, treasure trove of documents in David Pecker's office relating to information assembled from all these catch and kill operations against people who potentially had damaging information on the president. You also mentioned that the president was very concerned about the whereabouts of these documents and who possessed them. Does that treasure trove of documents still exist?
I don't know. I had asked David Pecker for them.
So you would say the person who knows the whereabouts of these documents would be David Pecker?
David Pecker, Barry Levine, or Dylan Howard.
Okay, thank you. Secondly, I want to ask a little bit about your conversation with my colleague from Missouri about asset inflation. To your knowledge, did the president ever provide inflated assets to an insurance company?
Yes.
Who else knows that the president did this?
Alan Weisselberg, Ron Lieberman, and Matthew Calamari.
And where would the committee find more information on this? Do you think we need to review his financial statements and his tax returns in order to compare them?
Yes, and you'd find it at the Trump Org.
Thank you very much. The last thing here, the Trump Golf Organization currently has a golf course in my home borough of the Bronx, Trump Links. I drive past it every day going between the Bronx and Queens. In fact, the Washington Post reported on the Trump Links Bronx course in an article entitled, "Taxpayers Built This New York Golf Course and Trump Reaps the Rewards." That article is where many New Yorkers and people in the country learn that taxpayers spent $127 million to build Trump Links in a, quote, generous deal, allowing President Trump to keep almost every dollar that flows in on a golf course built with public funds. And this doesn't seem to be the only time the president has benefited at the expense of the public. Mr. Cohen, I want to ask you about your assertion that the president may have improperly devalued his assets to avoid paying taxes. According to an August 21st, 2016 report by the Washington Post, while the president claimed in financial disclosure forms that Trump National Golf Club in Jupiter, Florida, was worth more than $50 million, he had reported otherwise to local tax authorities that the course was worth, quote, no more than $5 million. Mr. Cohen, do you know whether this specific report is accurate?
It's identical to what he did at Trump National Golf Club at Briarcliff Manor.
Do you know, to your knowledge, was the president interested in reducing his local real estate bills, tax bills?
Yes.
And how did he do that?
What you do is you deflate the value of the asset, and then you put in a request to the tax department for a deduction.
Thank you. Now, in October 2018, the New York Times revealed that, quote, President Trump participated in dubious tax schemes during the 1990s, including instances of outright fraud that greatly increased the fortune he received from his parents.
This has always been a path to impeachment. And this is Russia collusion's falling apart. Now they we got to get into the finances of Donald Trump. We got to get his taxes released. Nancy Pelosi says, well, I'll release my taxes when I'm running for president. No, let's release everybody's if you want to release it. But the bottom line is you can see where this is going. They're just throwing everything they got up against a wall.
Yeah, well, they've gone all in on Mueller, Sean, and collusion's now dead. It's formally dead. Cohen just stabbed it in the heart today with this Prague allegation. I mean, the whole thing is based on the dossier. We know that. Andy McCabe has already admitted as much. Jim Comey had knocked it as salacious and unverified. The case is falling apart. So all they have now, Sean, is the degrading of Trump's what I call political bank account. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about degrading his political capital with the public. And the way to do that is to put up these salacious, nonsensical charges about Smokey Daniels or whatever her name is and all this stuff to knock down Trump personally, to knock out his political capital, to make it politically palatable to impeach him. This isn't based on anything other than pure, unadulterated hatred for Donald Trump. There's no there there.
All right, we got to continue. We're in Hanoi. Linda, you get cracked up by Dan Bongino. It's amazing.
She's laughing over
11.
That.
800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We are in Hanoi. Now, 9 Eastern on Hannity. we are going to, it's about the time they're supposed to meet, shake hands, begin the process, the summit. I'll have an interview with the president immediately thereafter, which is great. And looking forward to bringing you that.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
On here, it was very clear that it asked for contracts with foreign entities over the last 2 years. Have you had any foreign contract with foreign entities, whether it's Novartis or the Korean Airline or Kazakhstan BTA Bank? Your testimony earlier said that you had contracts with them. In fact, you went into detail.
I believe it talks about lobbying. I did no lobbying. On top of that, they are not government.
I'm not asking about lobbying, Mr. Cohen.
They are not government agencies.
Do you have foreign contracts?
Publicly traded companies.
Do you have foreign contracts?
I currently have no foreign
contracts. Did you have foreign contracts over the last 2 years?
Foreign contracts.
Contracts with foreign entities. Did you have contracts? Yes.
Yes.
Why didn't you put them on the form? It says it's a criminal offense to not put them on this form for the last 2 years. Why did you not do that?
Because those foreign companies that you're referring to are not government companies.
It says non-governmental, Mr. Cohen. You signed it.
They're talking about me as being non-governmental.
No. And right, it says foreign agency. It says foreign contracts. Do you want us to read it to you?
I read it, and it was reviewed by my counsel, and I am a non-government employee. It was not lobbying, and they are not foreign.
This has nothing to do with lobbying. It says it's a criminal offense to not list all your foreign contracts. That's what it says.
Well, then I'm going to take a look at it before I leave.
No, you've heard
it. I will, and hopefully I will amend it prior to leaving, because that's not the way I read your document.
You know, it's just one more example, Mr. Cohen, of your skirting the truth.
You have a history of lying over and over and over again. And frankly, don't take my word for it. Take what the court said. Take what the Southern District of New York said. Cohen did crimes that were marked by a pattern of deception and that permeated his professional life. These crimes were distinct in their harms, but bear a common set of circumstances. They each involved deception and were each motivated by personal greed and ambition. A pattern of deception for personal greed and ambition, and you just got 30 minutes of an opening statement where you trashed the President of the United States of America. Mr. Cohen, how long did you work for Donald Trump?
Approximately a decade.
10 years?
That's correct.
And you said all these bad things about the President there in that last 30 minutes, and yet you worked for him for 10 years? All those bad things, I mean, if it's that bad, I can see you working for him for 10 days, maybe 10 weeks, maybe even 10 months. But you worked for him for 10 years. Mr. Cohen, how long did you work in the White House?
I never worked in the White House.
And that's the point, isn't it, Mr. Cohen?
No, sir.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not, sir.
You wanted to work in the White House.
No,
you
sir.
You didn't get brought to the dance.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour. We are in Vietnam. We're in Hanoi. As a matter of fact, the President, Kim Jong-un, as we come on the air tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox News, 9 a.m. local, it's all going to be happening. I said it to everybody. And first of all, this is an embarrassment. The party now, Kamala Harris, now wants legal prostitution. Legalize it in America. Then we have the other big bomb. Maybe we should not have children, Ocasio-Cortez. Eliminate airplanes. We're going to get rid of cows because of flatulence. Everything is going to be free. Everything from health care, your job, what you get paid, your vacations, medical leave, family leave, free health care, but you can't have your own health care. Forget about being pro-choice on health care. Free retirement, free everything. This is what the college education, free. This is now the new. And then, of course, yesterday, what do we have? Oh, we're going to have we won't even save a baby that is born alive. The Born Alive Baby Protection Act. This is your modern left wing, radical, democratic, extremist, socialist party. And I warned yesterday that this is warned now for a long time. Who would allow as the attorney Michael Cohen to go and testify? He's got 3 years in jail. Now, he has now been, Mark Meadows has entered a referral for now, another criminal investigation into Michael Cohen. Why? Because the Democrats so hate Trump, so want to distract from what is potentially beyond historic to make a safer world, and they rolled him out 3 days in a row. Now he's got a criminal referral as a result of all of this. He got disbarred yesterday, if that wasn't enough. And on top of that, I think maybe what it may end up being the most exculpatory issue is when Cohen said, Mr. Trump never, ever expected to win the primary, never expected to win the general election. The campaign was always a marketing opportunity. Oh, so anything with Russia was about business, had nothing to do with colluding. Why would you collude otherwise? Bill O'Reilly is with us. And of course, his best-selling book is now a, well, how many weeks now have you been on the bestseller list, Killing the SS?
Been out 6 months.
Yeah,
we're doing real well. But it's interesting because I'm writing the Trump book now.
Right, and you interviewed
the United States of Trump, how the president really sees America. So when Cohen made that statement today that Trump really didn't want to win or expected to win, and this was a great marketing thing, and that's why he did it, I knew right away that he was not telling the truth, Cohen. So I have, and I think you have too, known him decades, and Trump has always been engaged in issues like Iraq. He didn't want the Iraq war. He thought it was, you know, ridiculous and whatever. And if you go back and you look at his Playboy interview in 1990, he's talking about all kinds of policy issues and that he could do it better, negotiate these deals. So when Cohen is saying, this guy was just using the political process to make more money and to get more fame, it's flat out false. And now you're in Hanoi, you don't see this, but CNN and MSNBC have had to come on the air and say, well, that's probably not true, particularly CNN. MSNBC, I don't hardly know what they're doing, but CNN had to come on and say, we don't believe that's true. That doesn't stack up with what we're reporting. So when Cohen makes that a frontline assertion, then everything else he says, you got to just shrug your shoulders and say, you know, come on, why are we, as you put it, listening to this guy for 3 days?
Bill, here's the amazing thing. And look, I'm a conservative, and I have more criticism for Republicans than I do for Democrats. Republicans are weak, visionless, spineless. They don't keep their promises, and they have frustrated so many people, which I think led to the election of Trump. This is profound. The president of the United States, look at the optics, is in North Korea. Hostages have come home. We've had the remains since the 50s of American heroes. They have been sent home to their families. On top of that, we haven't had a rocket fired over Japan, no threatening Guam or the region or the United States, the continental United States. And they bring on a guy that has been convicted and is now a felon for lying to Congress, lying on loan applications, cheating on his taxes extensively for over many years. He's their star witness. And this is now added to all the things I said. Now prostitution, now reconsider kids, no more planes, no more cars, no more cows. Everything's free. It's $94 trillion, but we shouldn't think about the cost. What has happened? You like to say you're a common sense, I think, conservative.
Looking
out for the folks. You look out for people.
Yes.
How does this help people?
It doesn't, but the key question is the one you just posed. How did this happen? So here's how it happened. President Obama's in office for 8 years, and the majority of Americans did not prosper. Okay, that's fact. Can't debate it, can't dispute it. And a populist comes on the scene and says, look, if you put the Republicans in, you're going to get more of the same. Nothing's going to change. But I'll change everything. So he wins. That was a bold, fresh move by the American people.
By the way, that sounds like a great title for a book, Bold, Fresh. I don't know. Maybe for a speaking tour. I'm just thinking. I'm just it's a little.
You know. So the Democrats and the left progressives see how a guy can get elected president by being bombastic and in some cases extreme. And they say, we're going to do that too. We're going to throw off all the stuff we were hiding. And now Moderation is not going to be a part of our presentation. We're going to be who we really are because Trump did it, so we can do it. And that is what you're seeing. The extremism that was hidden for many, many years has now flourished, and the media loves it. They love the far-left progressive take, and so they facilitate it, and that's why it happened.
All right, quick break. We'll come back more with Bill O'Reilly on the other side. Don't forget, Kim Jong-un, the president, 9 Eastern, as we come on the air tonight on Fox. All right, as we continue with Bill O'Reilly, his newscast is on BillO'Reilly.com every day. Okay, so this is now what America has to deal with and what we're facing. And, you know, look at the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. And like you, I'm sure you have many friends like I do that define themselves as pro-choice. I happen to be pro-life. I believe life begins at conception. I think Roe v. Wade is bad law. I think there should be exceptions. But this isn't an abortion debate, Bill. This is about a child born alive.
This isn't really an abortion debate. This is a party order. This is a party order from Pelosi and Schumer. They order their people not to give in on any level to the Republicans or the pro-life people. Poll out yesterday, I don't know whether you saw it. Marist College took a poll.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, okay. Knights of Columbus paid for it. So yep. 12%.
A 12-point change shift from people that were pro-choice to pro-life as a result of this.
Right. So Americans are starting to wake up. So this is a good thing, but it's also a larger indicator. The more Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, the more they run around and scream about absurdities, the stronger Trump will get if he can get by the next 2 years, and the Republican Party will get.
How are people in this country, I call them the forgotten men and women, how are they going to react to the split screen? Trump trying to negotiate the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and Democrats bringing in a convicted felon who lied to Congress, cheated extensively on his taxes, and lied on loan applications and is caught in a series of other lies.
The folks don't care about Michael Cohen. Okay, I'll submit to you not one independent or casual observer of the political scene even bother watching Michael Cohen. It's a pure demagogic play on the far left. All right? So, yes, you're right. It's a diversion. Take attention away from something that's very interesting and that could help the world, neutering this crazy guy in North Korea. Okay. That's the play. But do the folks care about what Michael Cohen says? No, not at all. The only thing you're going to care about is the Mueller report. The Mueller report comes out and has a startling accusation backed up by facts. People will pay attention. If the Mueller report comes out and does not have that, 2-day story, it's gone. But Cohen, folks don't care.
When does the media get held accountable, Bill, for
never
hyping and hysteria?
Never, because the media is controlled by 6 corporations who don't care what the people think. Now, the ratings for all television, not just news, but everything, they are coming down because a lot of people are walking away. And that will show in the bottom line profits. But do Comcast and Disney care what the people think about corrupt people that they run out every day on television? No, they don't. They're arrogant. They don't care. And, you know, it's blank you. We'll put on The View. We'll put it under the ABC News banner, if you can believe it. And we don't really care what they say. You know, we know we'll get 3 million viewers and we'll sell some products and that's it.
All right. By the way, Bill O'Reilly does a daily newscast on BillO'Reilly.com. Is a 6-month now bestseller, Killing the SS. Well, anyway, congratulations on all that. We'll look forward to it. And tonight at 9 o'clock, Kim Jong-un and the president will first meet. We'll be covering it live, 9 a.m. here in Hanoi, and hope you'll join us. Bill,
yeah,
thank
get
you.
Get a condo over there, will you, Hannity?
Yeah. Why, you want to come over and borrow it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get one for O'Reilly.
It looks like a nice, you know, you look good. The shot's good. Looks like right? It's an interesting culture going on there. Still communist, though.
Hey, did you see me on the scooters? That's the most important part. Did you see my scooter ride?
I saw you with the shades and the scooters.
All right, but I got to go. I got to roll.
All right, have
Bill,
fun.
Thanks for being with us. All right, tonight, 9 Eastern. Hannity, when we come back, your calls.
I've just been sitting here. I'm new to the committee. I'm not an attorney. Okay. Sometimes your answers, you're either competent or are a liar. I think you come in here and you rail on the President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief, while he's over and across the Pacific Ocean trying to negotiate a deal to make this world safer. And Mr. Chairman, that's just having this committee at this time when the Commander-in-Chief's out of the country is just, I think, as a new president.
All right, part of the hearings, really the circus. This is an embarrassment. And if it was the other way around, that during Obama's presidency, let's say he's personally hand-delivering the $150 billion in cash and other currency to the mullahs in Iran, and they're having a hearing about something on Obama just to embarrass him, and bringing in as their star witness a guy that's just about ready to go to jail for lying to Congress and lying on loan applications and tax issues and all of the conflicts. I said, why would any lawyer allow Michael Cohen to do this? As I knew, you know, this is what he's, you know, when I knew him, Mike always talked about his kids. Why? He's already got the three of the most miserable years of his life coming up. But more importantly, Democrats want this. This is their star witness to them. The guy that they hated, despised, the guy that, you know, they called a liar repeatedly. Liar, 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 as we have played many, many times on TV and radio. This is how sick, ugly, twisted, psychotic, pathological this hate Trump media and mob and the Democrats have become. I mean, to think that this is all unraveling before our eyes, and that maybe in their sick, ugly, twisted mind, maybe they think they scored points today because they drew the attention away from the president's summit to denuclearize the entire Korean Peninsula, whose policies already have stopped Kim Jong-un from threatening the continental United States, sending remains of American heroes home from the 1950s, sent hostages home. He's not firing rockets over Japan, our ally, and threatening Guam and threatening the entire region. Donald Trump got that done. Now, we'll find out later tonight, probably when the summit starts. They had dinner yesterday, but when the summit starts, we're going to know a lot more. And then I'm going to interview the president right after. And this is what they're offering you. They're offering you petty politics, gutter politics, on a day when they ought to be interested in hoping in that the president succeeds, but the world gets to see this circus, this show that's going on here all day. It's an embarrassment for the country. If they had any sense of what they are doing, they would see the embarrassment for themselves. This is a party that has lost all sense of reality and perspective. Every day, it's a new thing. All right, a couple of days ago, well, we're going to add reparations to our $94 trillion. Now, Kamala Harris wants legalized prostitution. Yesterday, it was they won't vote to save a baby born alive, living on its own after a botched abortion. I don't know anybody that supports that. I know people that say abortion should be legal first 3 months, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know anybody that supports this. Nobody, except the Democrats and the radicals that have taken over this party. And seriously, you've got 100 of them, and many of them the 2020 presidential contenders. So they really want the Green Deal. They want the airplanes. We got to get rid of them. Get rid of gas and oil and cars and cows and rebuild every home in 10 years, although the world's going to, you know, explode and implode in 12. Not have children. Seriously, think now about it, whether you're irresponsible by having children. And they're also going to guarantee everything you've ever dreamed of in your life. You know, last night we had Jorge Ramos on the show. You know, when he showed the Venezuelan dictator Maduro, you know, who's put his people in poverty and people are eating out of a garbage truck. He got mad, confiscated his tapes. Then they put him under house arrest for a few hours. Thankfully, he got out. And there you have it. There's your socialism. And they should be one of the richest countries in the world. And this is where they take us. This is a low moment. Unfortunately, they dragged the country down with them, because the world is watching this. The world sees this. This is an embarrassment. Now, whether you like Michael Cohen or don't like Michael Cohen is irrelevant here. You know, how do you bring somebody that has now is going to jail for lying to Congress, lying on loan application? You know what that is? Lying on loan application, that basically means he's like saying, oh, I have all the money to pay you back, blah, 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 and I really don't. That's fraud. And in a lot of cases, although I think Michael said today that he paid all the money back, a lot of cases that means you don't have the money to pay it back and you're not getting the money back. And when the bank says, well, where's our collateral? I never had that collateral. I overinflated the value of my net worth or whatever it happens to be. And then cheating on your taxes 5 consecutive years in a row. And this is their star. This is their star witness, because they're so obsessed with A, hurting Trump, destroying Trump, finding a path to impeachment, whatever way they can, because Russia collusion's dying. The dossier, Michael Cohen, dying. He said, well, any collusion? Not that I know of. He's dying, the whole thing before their eyes. And so rather than focus on, securing our border, rather than focus on helping forgotten men and women in this country and making America so wealthy because we have more natural gas, more oil, more coal energy than the entire world pretty much put together. When you add ANWR, the pipelines, and everything else we've got in store, the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs for Americans that will alter forever their lifestyle and raise them up out of the middle class and into the upper middle class, where it's the difference between a new house and a safe neighborhood, a new truck, Disneyland for your kids or not Disneyland for your kids, get to go out to dinner, enjoy your life more, take vacations, and really, really see the fruits of your labor. We're going to kill all of that, but we're going to promise you free retirement. We're going to promise you free health care. They did so well the last time, but you can't have your own insurance. They're going to even promise you, they've done so well with K-12. Now they're going to add free college or a trade school. Oh, can't wait for the results of that. Then they're going to offer, guaranteed job, sustained wage, guaranteed, daycare. Is there anything that they don't want to guarantee? And this is what they stand. And don't mind. We don't have to talk about the cost, even though the former head of the CBO estimates go now above $94 trillion. And it's always higher, no matter what they say. This party has gone off the ledge. Now the question is, and meanwhile, what has the president done on the economy? Record low unemployment. Records. He's shattering records in every category. Largest tax cuts in history. Now they want a 70% marginal rate. That's going to destroy the economy. Nobody's going to want to invest in America. They're going to take 70 cents of every dollar before you even start. Why bother? Nobody's going to bother. And rich people are going to say, like they're leaving New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, and California, they're going to say, see ya. We're out of here. And they're going to send their money overseas and protect it so the government doesn't steal it all, which is what they're basically legalizing, stealing. Pay your taxes. You know what? You save too much. We're going to take more. Wow. That really incentivizes people to be wise with their money. You know, and then when you die, you get another 40% taken away. This is going, we're either going to, America's at a crossroads here. You're going to make a choice. And look at what you have. Look at the comparison. Look at the Green New Deal. Look at the phony promises. Look at how it alters our lifestyle. No oil, no gas, no cars, no airplanes, no cows. And it's insanity. We're the greatest wealth producing nation on earth for a reason, because it's predicated on human freedom and liberty and ingenuity. It is predicated that every single person endowed by their creator is born with talents and abilities. And in a free society, if we do the right thing and we water the kids and we give the kids sunlight and we give the kids a good education, that those kids are going to find what it is that they want. And then they're going to produce goods and services. Whoever created the washing machine, genius. You know how they used to wash clothes? Remember? I grew up, I had a clothesline in my backyard, a little washboard. Can you imagine using a washboard? Or who created the electric stove, the gas stove, the refrigerator? Oh, the freezer. How many years? What about all the people who take those big blocks of ice, carry it home? I don't even want to carry a bag from the grocery store home. I'm so lazy. But, that's the choice here. All right, let's get to our busy phones as we say hi to John is in Atlanta. John, hi, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? It's amazing you can juggle all this with for all the different time zones. What a great job.
No, listen, I'll tell you how I do it. I stay on New York time. If you go in my hotel room, you'd think like I'm a crazy, you know, what do you call those guys? What?
I would call you a vampire here in Vietnam.
Well, not a vampire. I don't know if, say, you know, some loner,
insomniac.
Psycho.
Insomniac.
But I draw the drapes.
Exactly.
I don't want to see night and day.
Oh, Dracula. I call you Dracula.
Okay. And then what I do is I work my regular schedule and I do what I do when I normally finish TV and I eat and I go to bed. I usually read and try to go to bed, and then my pillow eventually gets me to sleep. But anyway, go ahead. Thank you very much.
Anyway, hey, I think you're underestimating how disgusted Americans are with the dog and pony show they're doing with Cohen. The little bit I got to hear this morning in between work schedules, he'd go out, well, I did this for Mr. Trump. He forced me to do this, but I still continue to work for Mr. Trump. Next point, same thing. Well, yeah, I didn't like this, and I didn't. But I still continue to work for Mr. Trump. Apparently, Mr. Cohen lived a very lucrative life for quite a while, and you wonder how many of those millions were a product of Donald Trump. And he was fine with that before, and now all of a sudden trying to save his fanny from going to jail longer. He will say and do anything, and especially the timing for this was such an important thing going on where you are right now in Vietnam. America looks at this, and they just realize what a goat rodeo it really is. And the Democrats are going to pay for it. We're just done with this. And the tipping point of America getting more and more torqued off is starting to tip, and it's going to wind up getting very ugly. It just is going to have to do that.
Listen, it's going to get ugly because the Democrats want it ugly. They're designing it ugly, and it's going to get meaner and tougher than it's ever been. It's already there. And there's so many that salivate, especially in the media mob, that they just want this president to collapse and they want to drive him out of office, and they've lost any sense of proportionality, perspective, and they are not a part of any of this success either. They have not done a thing to make this country better. This hearing does nothing to make the lives of Americans better. In Vietnam, this is about safety, security of future generations. It matters. You know, tax cuts matters. 5.5 million new jobs matter. You know, millions off food stamps and millions out of poverty matter. Secure borders matter. Energy independence matters. This crap, these lies, this garbage that we get every second minute hour of every 24-hour day, 7 days a week, every week, month, year. It is. They're literally feeding the country nothing but junk food, crap, garbage, lies, misinformation, propaganda, and they're not helping. You know, I don't know. I mentioned the other day that I really found great joy here in Vietnam because I give people tips. And it's not a lot. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's not the point. You give somebody in Vietnam $20 and they're near tears because it's worth, what's this $20 in dongs? What is that?
500,000 dong.
500,000 dong. And it's a huge amount of money for people here.
Yeah, because you're giving it willingly. And when you give willingly, it's from the goodness of your heart as opposed to it being taken by the Socialist Democratic Party.
I'm so taken back by the reaction. All right. 800-941-SEAN. The President, Kim Jong-un, actually meet at 9 Eastern as we're coming up on the air. You don't want to miss this. I'm sure every other channel will be busy talking about Michael Cohen's going to jail. And I thought it was a terrible day all the way. The Democratic Party looked awful.
It's a disgrace.
It's such an embarrassment.
Disgrace.
Just to make a note, Mr. Chairman, just because someone has a person of color, a black person working for them, does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that some would even say it's the fact that someone would actually use a prop, a black woman, in this chamber, in this committee, is alone racist in itself. Donald Trump is setting
Mr.
a precedent.
Chairman, I ask that her words
Donald
be
Trump
taken
is setting
down.
A precedent. I reclaim my time.
I ask that her words, when she's referring to an individual member of this body, be taken down and stricken from the record. I am sure she didn't intend to do this, but if anyone knows my record as it relates, it should be you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, I would like to
hold on.
I want the words read
back. No.
I'm just saying That's what I believe to have happened. And if, as a person of color in this committee, that's how I felt at that moment, and I wanted to express that. But I am not calling the gentleman, Mr. Meadows, a racist for doing so. I'm saying that in itself, it is a racist act.
All right, that was earlier Congresswoman Tlaib. Tonight, Mark Meadows will respond. We will have full, complete coverage, both the president and Kim Jong-un. Their meeting, we're in Vietnam. We will be here live, scheduled to meet as we come up at 9 Eastern on the East Coast in New York and D.C. and 6 on the West Coast. And, of course, 9 a.m. here in Vietnam. Anyway, we also have tonight Lindsey Graham, Mark Meadows. All right, we will see you back here tomorrow, tonight, 9 Eastern. Thanks for being with us. And 9 Eastern, the president and Kim Jong-un.